Gospel, chapter number 6. I must deliver this. I realize our time, we don't have night services. I think we can handle a few minutes of preaching this morning. Matthew, chapter number 6. Our country's not in a mess because of preaching. It's in a mess because of the lack of preaching. And it's in a mess because the lack of applying preaching. Matthew 6, Jesus had something to say that I'm interested in today. He says in verse 3, "When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." That word alms, it's simply deeds. It's your good measures. We're not to get on the top of the roof and crow about what we've done. For God's writing it all down. He says, "When thou prayest," in verse 5, "thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." I'm living that verse. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven." I'm glad to know where He is today. "Hallowed or holy is Thy name. Thy kingdom come." He does have a kingdom. I'm glad I'm a part of His kingdom this morning. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts and as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you. We thank you for the good atmosphere of worship this morning. I thank you for those that respond to your presence. Would you help us now? Let preaching be easy a few moments. God, let me be precise in the delivery this morning. Let me be focused upon that is important, the Word of God. Help us today. Help our nation. Help these families. God, these young people, these children. Help our community and our homes and our church. Thank you, God, for how good you've been to us at Liberty Baptist Church. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. I preached last Sunday from the thought of keeping on plowing. This Sunday I want to preach out of that same realm of things on keeping on, and I want to preach on keep on praying. Keep on praying. You'll notice here there's a discipline preparation, verses 5 and 6. Our Lord is writing and He says this, "And when thou prayest." Look in verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest." Look in verse 7, "But when ye pray." It's not if you pray, if it's not are you going to pray, but it is when you pray. He expects us to pray. God expects us to pray. I believe with all of my heart, prayers unlock heaven. I believe the Lord has many keys handed to us, but yet we never use those keys to unlock what He really wants us to have in our life, in our country. You'll see there's a discipline preparation. Verse 5, it gets personal. He says this, when thou prayest. Can I ask you something? Have you prayed today? Have you prayed today when thou prayest? Have you prayed today? Did you pray yesterday? It's a personal examination. But then look at verse 6. There's a practical elimination. He says, when thou prayest, enter thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door. He wants us to get into a private place and shut everything else out. Boy, it's so hard to shut everything out. But that reminds me, you know what God is wanting? God is wanting us to be alone with Him. And many times the reason you and I don't want to be alone with Him is because of the sin in our life. When Adam sinned, the last thing he wanted was to be alone with God. But friend, when you've got your sins confessed and they're covered by the blood of Jesus, the alone time with God is spectacular this morning. You see, this thing of prayer, keep on praying, there's a disciplined preparation. There requires discipline to pray. You know something? You will not, listen to me, I won't preach long. You will not find time to pray. You must make time to pray. You will not find time to pray. We must make time to pray. As many of you know, usually my schedule is very hectic and travel and preaching. The last 16, 17, 18 weeks or so, I've had a lot of downtime. And I found through this downtime that I can never find time. I must make time to pray. A disciplined preparation. Get discipline about you. Your children need discipline. We need discipline. Discipline is structure. We need structure in our lives. There's a disciplined preparation. It's a personal examination. It's a practical elimination. Stop the world. Shut the door on everything. Just you and God. This disciplined preparation. But in verse 7, there's a devotional realization. He says this. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard, for they are much speaking. But know you therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Isn't that amazing? He's telling us in the teaching of the Word of God, there is a devotional realization. God knows everything. The God of this Bible, He sees all. He knows all. He hears all. And let me tell you something that the devil won't tell you in your devotion. God can do anything. I was reminded in my study this morning, this text always sticks out at me about God. It says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do, watch this, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that now worketh in us, unto Him be the glory in the church. Can I tell you today, God can do the impossible. God can do things that you thought was unimaginable. Well, preacher, my children are way over yonder. Or, preacher, this item is so hard in my life. Let me tell you, God's bigger. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Watch this. That we ask, this gets big. Or think. I mean, He says He can do more than what I can even imagine. Sounds like to me that we need to get to talking to this God. There is a disciplined preparation. There's a devotional realization. But thirdly, there's a determined expectation. Look in verse 8. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. We see this determined expectation. There must be a trustfulness. Do you trust God? I want to say some things this morning. This determined expectation, I found out that it requires trustfulness. God loves me and you so much. There's sometimes He won't answer our prayers because He knows it would hurt us. Do you trust God in your praying? That reminds me that when I pray and God don't answer my prayers the way I pray, I've got to realize I've got to trust Him that He knows best. Where I live, I have a dam that goes to the lake. It's very steep. We have a golf cart and a four-wheeler. As much as my grandchildren want to go up and down that, I always say no. You know why? Because I realize there's some things, if I say yes, that can be detrimental to them grandkids. So it is with God. When we pray, we must have a trustfulness with Him and say, God, You know the best for me. God, You know if I need to be there or if I need to be here. God, You know if I need that or not. And so God, whatever the answer to this prayer is, I've got to trust You because I trust You. You've got my best at mind. Can you imagine you with children or grandchildren? They asked you to do something and you knew it was detrimental to them. What kind of parent would you be to tell them, go ahead? You know why? Because you love them. So we must learn to trust God in such a way, God, You know what's best for me. You know what's best for Liberty Baptist Church. There must be a trustfulness. And can I tell you, through years of serving Him, I found out I can trust Him. If I was to tell you that God had not let me down, I would be telling you a story this morning. God has let my feelings down before. But I've noticed this, at the end of the road, when I look back, God knows what was best. I mean, I always look back and say, God, You was right. I was wrong. A determined expectation. There must be a trustfulness. Then in verse 8, look, there must be a thankfulness. Our Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. I want to thank Him how good He is. Some of you may come and say, well, my goodness, I don't know why in the world people would stand and get all emotional in a church. You get emotional at the ball game. Why shouldn't we thank God? There must be a trustfulness. There must be a thankfulness. Thank you, God, that You know everything I need. There's a lot of times the devil will discourage me and I walk with my head down and say, now, God, it's just hard for me to thank You with this. But I can thank Him because I trust Him, and that's hard. When I'm not getting my way in life, when my prayer's not answered the way that I pray it, I must trust and I must thank Him. Lord, You know what's best. Now, this is where I want to get to. In this determined expectation, I want to ask you, how do we get our prayers answered? We've seen a little bit about praying. God expects us to pray, Mom and Daddy's. You know, I've thought about this a lot. I was with Pepsi 24 and a half years. Many times I had two gadgets that I was communicating with all day. I'm talking about all day. Such a busy pace. But you know, one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me in my life is when I realized I would never find time to pray. I had to make time to pray. Prayer has changed my life. And it'll change your life. And there are many of you here that pray, but I want to encourage you this morning, not only to keep on plowing, but keep on praying. We've got to have heaven above us to open. How do I get prayers answered? All right. Take these notes. I'll be brief. First of all, our desires must be His desires. That's hard. Listen to me. You'll hear a lot of people say, name it and claim it. That's unbiblical. Our desires must be His desires. I'll give you scripture, Colossians 3, verse number 1. Keep on praying. How to get our prayers answered. Our desires must be His desires. Colossians 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, in other words, if you're born again, if you're saved by the grace of God, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with having things. Just don't let things have you. And you and I might both be surprised this morning how much we trust in things. Especially when God has entrusted many of you with many of those things. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, watch this, who is our life, He's not just Sunday. He's not just on Wednesday night on Facebook. But Christ, who is our life, He's our everything. Christ, who is our life, shall appear. By the way, He's returning. Then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. So our desires must be His desires. 1 John 5, turn way over, if you would, in the right-hand side of your Bible. 1 John 5, verse 14. I want to give you this. Our desires must be His desires. 1 John 5, verse 14. Underline this in your Bible. This is the confidence that we have in Him. Who? God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we are desired of Him. Our desires must be His desires. This is the confidence that we have. If we'd ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Our desires must be His desires. Number two, our doubts must be removed. This is where I want to help you this morning. I want you to listen to me. 1 Timothy 2 and 8. Our doubts must be removed. This has always been my problem with doubts, and this is where I want to help you out this morning. Out of my heart, this is what I want to say to you. I've never doubted could God. I've doubted would God. I want to say that again. I've never doubted could God, but I've often doubted will God. Now, I want to help you with this. If my trustfulness will get to a place where He wants it to be, how can I doubt Him? Because I'm trusting Him that He knows the best for me. So no longer do I pray for the things I want. I'm now praying for things, God, if that's good for us. God, if that's good for my family, if it's good for me, Lord, would You open that door? If not, would You close it? Because I'm not smart enough to know the difference. Don't doubt that He wants the best for you. You hear me this morning? Don't doubt that the God of this Bible don't want the best for you because He wants the best for you. What kind of father would I be if my children come to me and I didn't want them to have the best that they could have? I must trust Him in my praying. How many times have I got in trouble that I prayed and I opened the doors and I made the things happen and God wasn't in it? And boy, did I suffer the consequences. I want to tell y'all something right quick. A rabbit got up. I got this idea one time. I was going to build this really nice street rod car. Miss Renee duck her head. You know, I thought I would build it for this amount. I didn't pray about it. Boy, did that work out bad. Tell you another thing. I went down to Rootville, Georgia one time, pulled in the motorcycle shop, sat on a nice bike. It was beautiful. Had Cadillac pipes, chromed. I've always been, have a weak moment for chrome. Somebody say amen. I come up with them chrome Kreger wheels on Chevys. I sat on this thing and I called Renee. I said, honey, come bring one of the girls to pick my truck up. She said, you got a problem? I said, no, I don't have no problem. She said, what are you doing? I said, I bought a motorcycle. She said, you done what? This is what she said. First thing she said, have you prayed about that? I sat there and said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I pray. You know what I said? I said, sir, open the door. I'm going to ride it out, double doors. Before I got home, y'all ever heard a preacher tell you, billy goat sick? I mean, I didn't pray about it, and I knew I'd offended God. It's not wrong for you to have a motorcycle. It was wrong for me to have one. God knowed what I needed. I didn't pray about it. I'm going to tell you how merciful He is. We hadn't even added addition zones at that time. So I was so sick of this thing about 2 weeks. I said, God, I'm going to run an ad and sell it. Phone didn't ring. I'd be up preaching, Brother David, man, it'd get good. I'd reach back for third gear, and God said, "Not grab that motorcycle." Well, I had a belly full of that. I told my wife, you asked her, I said, honey, this morning when I'm done preaching, I'm going to Whitesburg, and I'm running this bike over to Chattahoochee. I'm not preaching with that on me tonight. Y'all went and left home. I went downstairs. The platform used to be down there. I used to preach on in the basement. This, I prayed, dear God, help me with this. Help me with this, God. I've got to get rid of this. So I go home. This one had caller IDs. I looked, and there's an Atlanta number. The Lord knows I'm telling the truth. I got in my study, and I returned that call about 1:30. I said, hey, I've noticed that you've called here today. Do you need a preacher? He said, a preacher? I've called wanting a motorcycle. I said, praise God, you dialed the right number. Brother Tim, he met me down at Whitesburg. Renee said, I said, honey, come follow me. She said, you sure he's going to buy it? I said, if you don't, it's going in the river. Look how merciful God was to me. Oh, let me tell you, pray about what you do. Pray about where you go. Pray about what you buy. I'm trying to help you this morning. Our doubts must be removed. 1 Timothy 2:8. 1 Timothy 2:8. I love a motorcycle. Somebody say amen. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He wants us to pray and have confidence that, God, you know what we need, and I need this, God. And if it's the best for me, God, would you answer this prayer for me? Our desires must be His desires. Our doubts must be removed. And watch this, Matthew 6:14, our debtors must be forgiven. Well, this is a hard verse. Matthew 6, verse 14, our debtors must be forgiven. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I want to say something. Somebody's done something for you. I've heard a lot of people say this, forgiving is forgetting. It's really not. Forgiving is when they're mentioned again, it doesn't rise up in you to retaliate. Do you hear me this morning? We must forgive people. You must forgive each other. When I see a person, no, I don't forget what they've done, but it don't rise up in me to retaliate against them because I have forgiven them. You can get there. Fourthly, Our desires must be His desires. It must line up biblically with His will, what He wants for us in our life. Our doubts must be removed. We must trust Him and say, God, I'm praying and I know that if this is right, it's going to work. It's going to happen. Wouldn't that increase our confidence in praying if we trust Him? I want to say that again. Wouldn't that increase our confidence in praying if we really trusted Him? Our debtors must be forgiven. I've spoke this. Our doors must be shut. Have a place that you go. He's using this. He's not telling us we've got to go in a closet and pray. He's telling us we've got to shut the outside out and talk to Him individually. Where's your place you talk to God? Then lastly, our determination must be set. I love this passage. Don't miss this. Luke 18. I've thought about this for years. Luke 18. I want to show you something. Jesus provides a parable. Our desires must be His desires. Our doubts must be removed. Our debtors must be forgiven. Our doors must be shut. But lastly, our determination must be set. He spake a parable to them to this end in Luke 18. The men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. Watch verse 5. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge, that word means provide, His own elect, which cried day and night unto Him, though He bare long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Miss Sherry, if you'd come. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on earth? Our determination must be set. You'll notice that this lady had a need. And it seems like in this parable in the Bible, every morning the judge would open his door, there sat that lady on his steps. I think a lot of times I've heard men say, well, you know, you done told God about it. You don't need to tell Him again. Well, I think the Bible teaches us that we need to continually come to Him. Right. I give you for this instance. You ever had a child or a grandchild that was persistent in asking? Am I the only one? Pop? No. Pop? If I hear Pop again today. Pop? What is it? You think we might could go put deer corn out? Well, I'm tired. And got a shower. Pop? Go crank a four-wheeler. What do you say in persistence? God, that means something to me. God, I need you. Lord, I want it to be right. Would you help me? I read something this morning. Miss Sherry's going to play. I looked it up before I left. It simply said that when you pray, and you really need to petition Him about something. That this passage teaches us that if you got trouble, if you're troubled, there's somebody you can come to. Are you troubled? Are you troubled about yourself? Are you troubled where you're going to spend eternity? The Bible says you can be saved by grace through faith. Grace is what God done for you on the cross with His Son. The Bible says He's given every man a measure of faith. You must access that faith in the finished work of Christ. Trust Him to be saved. The Spirit of God knocks on your heart. You must open your heart and say, Lord, save me. Help me. God, I'm going to follow You. Repent of your sins. But I want to ask something. Is anybody here really got a need in your family or in your life this morning? Can I say keep on praying? keep on praying. Mom and Daddy's your young'un's way out, child. It's not too hard for God. You married struggling? It's not too hard for God. Are you struggling with addictions? It's not too hard for God. Whatever you need this morning, would you come, my sister, please open these altars. You may be here this morning lost without Christ and you want to be saved. I'd come. You may be here just today as a couple or a young person. You need the Lord.